All right, everybody, what's going on? Let's get locked in on the birds. This is the Locked On Eagles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. What's up, everyone? It's Louis DiBiase on this Tuesday edition of the show, January 29th, already getting to February. The NFL Combine's coming up. We got the Super Bowl this week. Kind of a sad week. I mean, we're moving on to the offseason. Today, we're going to be talking about some trade scenarios when it comes to Nick Foles and kind of getting into the report yesterday from a Denver NFL insider that said that, according to his sources, Nick Foles is likely to just be walking into free agency. They don't think that the Eagles are going to tag him or try to pick up the option and try to move him. We're going to get into the details of that on today's show, but, you know, media day was yesterday with Tom Brady and the Patriots and the Rams, and, you know, it gets me thinking about last year and just how awesome that was. And, you know, I thought maybe I was going to be sad and disappointed because the Eagles were so close. You know, Alshon Jeffrey maybe catches that pass in New Orleans. Maybe they go on to beat the Saints. And, hey, they already beat the Rams one time in L.A. Maybe they do it again. But I didn't really feel that way when I was watching Sean McVay at the podium and I was, you know, seeing all the cool new media day jackets were awesome. I ponied up and bought an Eagles one from last year, and it cost a pretty penny. But, you know, those are super cool. And there's all these little elements of, you know, making that Super Bowl run that I appreciated so much and I enjoyed and tried to revel in the moment with the Eagles last year. And just I'm thinking, you know, after watching, you know, all the Super Bowl coverage, excuse me, you know, to start this week off, I started thinking back to before the Eagles won the Super Bowl last year and thinking about, man, I wish like this little element of it. Like, I can't wait until the Eagles are in and, you know, we get to do this with the birds. Or like, I can't wait till Eagles media day jackets come out, or, you know, all the cool quotes from different players and like seeing all the wild reporters and media members coming down and asking the Eagles stuff. And, you know, just the whole buildup of the week. And there was just jealousy, an extreme amount of jealousy for me as an Eagles fan, watching all these other teams get to experience that year after year. And specifically, the one moment that always stands out is when a team wins the Super Bowl and the Hall of Famer that's representing the NFL comes out with the Lombardi Trophy and walks down, you know, the middle, trying to get to the big stage in the middle of the field, and all the players are surrounding him and touching the trophy, and the Lombardi NFL Films music plays. And I always remembered watching that and just not tearing up, but just being like, man, when the Eagles experience this, it's going to be the happiest day of my life. And I thought I'd be disappointed this year because the Eagles aren't in it again, and there were such high expectations on the season. And while they came up short, they were pretty close. I felt good about it. I felt appreciative of the 2017 Eagles, watching the Rams and the Patriots get to Atlanta this week and just seeing all the stories and all the coverage and the buildup to it. You know, I thought maybe I was going to feel disappointed and jealous because, you know, here's Jared Goff, this guy that was picked one pick ahead of Carson Wentz, a guy that, you know, the NFL, we love to compete with the other quarterbacks, especially the young guys. You know, we like to defend our guy, defending Carson Wentz against Jared Goff and Patrick Mahomes and all these young quarterbacks that are taking over the league. And, and maybe some jealousy would sink in, but no, I just was like, man, I remember every part of this last year, and it was just the coolest run of my life as a sports fan. So, you know, it's going to be a fun game coming up on Sunday. I still haven't really decided who I'm cheering for. I really don't want Jared Goff to win a ring. It's not that it'll really sway the decision in any way. I think Carson Wentz is clearly the better talent, the better quarterback than Jared Goff. But, I mean, if Jared Goff gets a ring, like, this is 2018 and 2019 has been the years of overreacting with Carson Wentz takes. And I don't know, if Jared Goff gets a ring, not only are the Goffers in the summer going to come after Eagles media, but I'm sure the full stands out there as well are going to be like, well, look, Jared Goff already has a ring, and, you know, we should stick with the guy that got us one. I don't know, but it's just, I don't feel any of that right now. I think it's just pure appreciation for the 2017-2018 Philadelphia Eagles, and I remember everything about that, and it's just taking me, you know, down memory lane. And really, just last year was so cool. Like the Alshon Jeffrey interview, how pissed off he was about the whole process, saying he wishes they were staying in Philly until Friday. And, you know, the jackets were so cool, and seeing Nick Foles out there talking, you know, on stage with Tom Brady, it's like, wow, like, this is the best dynasty in the NFL, one of the best in all of sports. This is the greatest quarterback of all time. you know, and they're used to being here, right, on the biggest stage. And here are the Philadelphia Eagles right with them. And the fact that they won it, it's just, it's a dream come true. So, yeah, I didn't feel any resentment towards watching the Rams, a team that the Eagles, I'm sure, are going to be competing with for a very long time. Seeing them out there on the big stage, not really disappointed. Just, again, pure appreciation for the Eagles last year. So let's get in now to the topic of the day, and that is none other than Mr. Nick Foles himself. And specifically, we're going to talk about the trade aspect of Foles and this offseason decision that's coming for Nick Foles and for the Philadelphia Eagles and for a lot of NFL teams out there trying to decide what they think of Nick Foles, what kind of commitment they maybe want to make to him with a financial standpoint and also with a long-term, you know, future of the position standpoint. Do they want to make him a bridge quarterback? Is he someone they think that can be their guy for, you know, 3 to 4 years and seriously compete for championships? There's a lot of question marks when it comes to Nick Foles' future in this offseason. We don't even really know still what he wants to do. This is a guy that's talked about retirement in the past, and he does not want to be in a bad situation. He does not want to be in a Rams 2.0 situation. So there was a new development yesterday. An NFL insider from 104.3 The Fan in Denver, Cecil Lammy, says that he has a source who told him the Eagles will let Nick Foles walk into free agency. He doesn't think there's enough space for the tag and trade scenario that some people have been drawing up. The Eagles are expected to get a 2020 third-round pick back if this is the case. And look, I think this definitely has some weight to it. I think this is the most realistic possibility. While I don't think that this source is coming from inside, considering this is an NFL insider from Denver, from a local radio station there, again, 104.3 The Fan, Cecil Lammy, I don't think this is a guy that's talking to Howie Roseman or anyone in the Eagles front office. And, you know, I don't know that exactly, but I don't think this is necessarily a done deal where the Eagles will not explore. I mean, maybe they've already tried to explore trading Nick Foles, which is a smart idea because they really got to get an idea for what the market would be out there. They cannot go into this and make a decision on tagging him or picking up the option before knowing what's going to be out there when it comes to trading. But I don't think this is over. I don't think that what this guy is saying is probably correct, I don't think it's necessarily a done deal. But it was always going to be tough for the Eagles to trade Nick Foles. For there's just so many elements to it. It just has to be a perfect situation for the Eagles. It's got to be the right market. Nick Foles has got to be on board. There's just so much that goes into it. It's got to be the right compensation, right? Because if you're getting a 2020 third round pick back, you know, it's got to be at least a second-round pick this year, or maybe a third, maybe it's a higher third, and you really like this year's class better than, you know, next year's. It's actually why, you know, the Eagles decided to move back. It's part of why, I'm sure, the Eagles decided to move back last year at pick 32 and collect an extra second-round pick this year and settle for Dallas Goedert in the second round, which was a great move. But it's got to be at least one of those picks. There's got to be a lot of elements that go exactly right, and it's why I believe that this report is probably true. I don't know. Again, I think it's going to be true regardless of whether someone told him this as a definitive statement or not. And again, the first thing we should get into is just Nick Foles has to be on board with a trade in the first place. Nick Foles has all the leverage. Despite the Eagles being able to pick up an option, a team option, and then tagging Nick Foles if Foles uses his player option, no matter what, Nick Foles has to be willing to go to the team that the Eagles want to trade him to. And that's why leverage is going to be extremely tough for the Eagles. Foles does not, like I said, Foles does not want to be in a Rams 2.0 situation. This is a guy that nearly retired before signing with the Kansas City Chiefs. This is a guy that was content on being a backup for the Philadelphia Eagles, and things have changed, but still, I read his book this summer, and listening to his words, listening to him talk about his off-the-field interests, this is a guy that definitely has things he wants to do outside of football in his life and that he's planning on doing in the near future. And winning the Super Bowl, making another run with the Eagles, I don't know how much longer Nick Foles is going to play in. It's why there's so many variables where leverage is going to be tough for the Eagles. You can't really hold out like you did last year, right? Where last year Nick Foles was under contract on a reasonable cap hit, and if a team didn't give you a first-round pick, maybe you were okay with turning down a second-round pick or whatever was the offer because you could just keep him as a backup with Carson Wentz coming off a torn ACL, whereas now teams are going to know the Eagles cannot afford to keep Nick Foles on the contract that they have, right? If they pick up the $20 million option, they're above the cap with that hit. And also, it's the whole distraction with Carson Wentz. You know, I think that this is something that they really, teams know the Eagles have to move on from this. And it's not just that, like, the Eagles have to know what the market is ahead of time. Like I said, because if they pick up, you know, Nick Foles' option, and then no team is biting, a team's maybe only willing to give up a fourth-round pick, then you kind of screwed yourself over. You cannot afford to keep him on. And that can get you stuck if you make a decision before knowing what's out there. Right? You have to be talking to a team like Jacksonville before. You have to know what a team like Denver thinks about Nick Foles, or a team like, I don't know, the Miami Dolphins. You know, teams that maybe would be willing to give up a pick, depending on the competition for Nick Foles. There's been reports back and forth regarding how teams feel about him. Some teams feel that he's purely a system guy that thrived with Doug Peterson and all the immense talent that Philadelphia had on the offensive coaching staff and the talent on the field. And some people think, look, this is a guy that won a championship. This is a guy that's had a couple historic seasons in the past. He is big in big moments. We saw it this year in the playoffs against Chicago. We saw it last year against the Atlanta Falcons and the Minnesota Vikings and the New England Patriots. We've seen back and forth reports. Some people say he's going to be recruited just like Reggie White was when he hit free agency in the 90s. And then some people think this is a guy that might come in as a bridge quarterback, right? Might come in as a stopgap type starter, but will not have any sort of guarantees when it comes to being the face of a franchise. Like he's never going to get treated like Carson Wentz. Some teams, though, some people do think that teams out there could be willing to at least, though, build around him and not make him a Sam Bradford when the Eagles gave him a contract extension and then they traded up for Carson Wentz. There's so many variables that got to go into this, and that's why, and again, Nick Foles has to be okay with it. He's not going to want to go to a team like Denver if he suspects that they're going to draft a quarterback early in the first round. So it's interesting to see what the market's going to be, again, with the back and forth reports. Competition normally would drive it up, but teams know, they got to know that Foles would have to agree. So a team like Jacksonville would know that they don't need to give up much since they're really one of the only reasonable options that suits Nick Foles. They know they've John DeFilippo as their offensive coordinator, who was the Eagles' QB coach when Foles won the Super Bowl. They have talent all over the board on defense. They have some weapons on offense, including Leonard Fournette at running back. This is a team that they'd be like, why, you know, Let's stand pat. Like, we're only going to offer a third-round pick because we don't believe that if a Miami Dolphins team came over and offered the Eagles a trade, that Nick Foles would agree to it. Yes, you can pick up the option with Nick Foles. Nick Foles can pay that back into free agency. Technically, you can then franchise tag him, but then Nick Foles can easily just say, I'm not signing the tag. I don't want to go to the Miami Dolphins. And then you have this very chaotic Le'Veon Bell-like situation on your hands. And I don't know if Nick Foles would ever do that. But again, this is a dude that's cautious. This is a guy that was contempt last year on being the Eagles' backup again as opposed to starting for the Cleveland Browns. I do believe the story that Foles did not want to go to Cleveland. This is a guy that nearly retired after his career came to an extreme low point in St. Louis with Jeff Fisher. He was thrown to, what, Chris Givens, Zach Stacy, I think was their running back at the time, maybe Isaiah Pete or Daryl Richardson. Regardless, Nick Foles could say, I'm not signing the tag. And then is it really worth it for the Eagles to go through all of that, that huge distraction in the offseason, which is, it's an important offseason when it comes to a lot of players hitting the open market, a lot of serious cap decisions with guys like Jason Peters and Tim Jernigan, and you have all these picks in the draft. You really want this distraction for Nick Foles, who isn't going to be a part of your franchise moving forward anyway, for maybe a second-round pick this year as opposed to a third next year? It's not worth it. They have to have Nick Foles on board. And really, the only team that could come to the Eagles and be willing to give up a pick, and Nick Foles would probably say okay to it, I would think, is Jacksonville. I mean, just look across the board. The Eagles, there's no way. I think Nick Foles would absolutely be okay with the Eagles moving him to a team like the Giants with all the weapons they have, but there's no way in hell the Eagles are moving Nick Foles within the NFC East. They're not moving him to Washington. They're not moving him to the Giants. I mean, look, they were willing to do it with Donovan McNabb, but that was because Donovan McNabb was on his last legs. We saw how quickly he dropped off in Washington and then in Minnesota. They're not going to do that with Nick Foles. Nick Foles is 30 years old. While maybe he's a lightning rod quarterback that might struggle with other teams. He's not going to be the same player as he was in Philadelphia, but this is also a guy, though, that when he gets into the playoffs, he has experience, he steps up in big-time moments, and that's not a player that you want to be competing with within the division if you can control it, if you can send him to Jacksonville or to Denver. So, you know, the whole tag-and-trade scenario anyway would never be necessary, because if you were going to be able to trade Nick Foles, again, he has to be on board with it. And at that point, why would Nick Foles buy his way back, right? So if the Eagles bring, you know, if the Eagles pick up the option and Nick Foles, why would Nick Foles then give back $2 million if he's okay with being traded, only to then get tagged, right? Like, he's going to keep that $2 million. He's going to say, okay. Like, there's no scenario where the Eagles would franchise tag him and then trade him, if you ask me, because that means if you had to franchise tag him, that means Nick Foles is not okay with being moved wherever the Eagles want to put him. And then you have, again, this distracting situation that's just simply not worth it. So you need a predetermined market, right? You gotta know what teams want Nick Foles, what the asking price is, and you also have to talk to Foles. You have to say, look, here are the options. We want to get something for you. You know, we've been good to you in the past. We gave you the bonus this year when he came up just short. They did it last year as well. They gave him a nice extension. They gave him a nice, you know, upgrade in pay. They gave him the signing bonus. They even, like they Brandon Brooks said, he worked his contract around, you know, pushing down his cap hit this year to pay Nick Foles this year because he was going to be a backup and the Eagles wanted to do right by Foles. Maybe that helps make Nick Foles a little bit more reasonable because he has such a good relationship with the city of Philadelphia, with this Eagles organization. But regardless, you need all of that to happen, and you need teams that are willing to pay a higher than a third-round pick to bring in Nick Foles. Because if it's not more than a third-round pick, there's no point, because you're going to get a compensatory pick back in next year's draft that's going to equal a third-round pick for giving up Nick Foles. So you got to have teams that are willing to give up that. And if they're willing to give that up, that means they believe in Nick Foles as more than a bridge quarterback, right? Because what team is giving up? If Denver knows they're going to take Drew Lock, why would they give up a second-round pick for Nick Foles? I don't think their team is good enough where they think with Nick Foles they can win the Super Bowl next year, right? I know the Browns gave up a third for Tyrod Taylor last year, but I don't think another team is willing to do that for Nick Foles if they know that they're going to take another quarterback and just make, you know, Foles the stopgap. And if that's the case, why wouldn't you? You know, Nick Foles is going to want to get paid. And why would you be willing to offer him a decent-sized contract and give up draft compensation for a bridge quarterback? Like, why not just bring in Ryan Fitzpatrick, right? Why not just bring in, like, if you're Denver, why not? And I keep using Denver because the reporter that brought this up about Foles just walking into free agency is from Denver. Like, why not just keep Case Keenum in that situation? So it's just, it's a fluid situation. There's so many scenarios. There's so many aspects to this. It all has to go perfectly for the Eagles to get anything for him. I'm okay with Foles choosing where he wants to go next year. I think he deserves that. The Eagles are still going to get nice compensation back. They're not going to just lose him totally. They're going to get a third round pick back next year. So I think this report, while I don't know if officially they know right now what they're going to do, Maybe they've looked at the market. Maybe they talked to GMs in other cities and they know, like, it's just not going to be reasonable. But even if this report isn't coming from inside the Eagles organization, I do think this is the most likely scenario where the Eagles decline the option. Foles goes into free agency. The Eagles get that cap relief before the league year starts and Foles chooses where he goes. And then we pick up a third round pick next year. And all the power to Foles. Wish him luck for the rest of his NFL career. It's got to go perfectly, though, if the Eagles want to get something back this year. Again, it's got to be, you got to know what teams want him. There's got to be teams that believe in him, and Nick Foles has got to believe in those teams. Coming up next on the Lockdown Eagles podcast, we're going to get a little into the Denver Broncos specifically with Foles as a potential destination, because I've seen a couple different reports from guys inside Denver. And I'm going to rank Foles compared to other available quarterbacks in free agency this year. That's coming up next right here on the Lockdown Eagles podcast. This episode of Locked On Eagles is brought to you by MyBookie. I'm urging you to make your way over to MyBookie. You win and they pay. They have in-game live betting, the most rewarding player perks in the business. And for you fantasy guys out there, you can even bet the over-under on how many fantasy points a player will score each game. If you join now, MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Just enter the promo code LOCKEDON25 to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie. And don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON25 when creating your account to claim the bonus. You play, you win, and you get paid. All right, everybody. So let's get in now to the Nick Foles talk when it comes to, you know, because again, a trade, you're going to have teams that are willing to make Nick Foles their starter, right? Not just a bridge quarterback. Because if that's the case, then you're just going to bring in a guy like Ryan Fitzpatrick. There's no need to give up a second round pick for Nick Foles if he is just a guy that you plan on starting for 2 years, right? It's, you know, people have to think Nick Foles is better than the guys that could potentially be available this year that you don't have to give up anything for. And a team like Denver, that's a team that, look, I've seen a couple different reports. So the guy that came out with this report that the Eagles will let Nick Foles walk into free agency, NFL insider Cecil Lammy of 104.3 The Fan in Denver, says that Foles just going into free agency could change Denver's mind. While that's interesting, Ben Albright, who is another NFL insider, says he doesn't think Foles is in play for Denver. He thinks it's going to be Case Keenum or Joe Flacco and a rookie, right? So they're kind of in the bridge quarterback mix here. Apparently, John Elway is in love with Missouri quarterback Drew Lock and hopes to take him in the first round. Look, I think Denver would make sense for Nick Foles. I think they're a team that could win right now with Nick Foles there. They have weapons, Philip Lindsay at running back. They still have, you know, I really like Cortland Sutton at wide receiver. If the Eagles kept their pick at 32, I think he would have been an interesting possibility there coming out of SMU. Their defense, they still have Von Miller. You know, they have Chubb now on the other side of him, a pass rusher that got into the double-digit sack category. They still have Chris Harris, one of the best corners in football. I think Nick Foles there would make sense if they wanted to make him the long-term starter, but if he's in free agency, why would he want to be a bridge quarterback there? You know, I think that he could go somewhere like, look, again, Jacksonville is one of the few possibilities that could make him someone that could start for years to come. I don't know if a team like Oakland would. I just think Oakland's, you know, with Derek Carr and all the picks they have, I don't think Nick Foles is someone that they're going to consider either. It might really just be down to what Jacksonville wants to do, because a team like Denver, John Elway keeps saying he's going to keep taking quarterbacks until he finds a franchise guy. And I don't think that they view Nick Foles like that. I don't think Denver is a realistic option. And maybe that's why, look, maybe the Eagles can get something for Foles, because Jacksonville is the team that he knows he can go to and maybe be the long-term guy at. The devil's advocate to that is Jacksonville might know they're the only takers for Nick Foles. And then again, it's the leverage standpoint where you got to have maybe a couple other teams be interested to maybe drive up the competition. But regardless, I think Denver makes sense from just a roster standpoint. I think that they could win with Nick Foles, absolutely, in the AFC that, you know, is just wide open every single year. Different teams get in all the time, and that's a really good division with Kansas City and LA. But look, the Broncos were in the mix late in the season. I think, look, I know Case Keenum was in the NFC Championship game against Nick Foles just a year ago, but Nick Foles to me is on another tier than Case Keenum. Look, I'm a guy that is willing to say that I don't think Nick Foles is what we saw in the playoffs and down the stretch this year. I think he's somewhere in between that and what he was with the Rams and with the Eagles in 2014, but I think he's better than Case Keenum. Is he better than guys like Joe Flacco, though? Is he better than guys like, is he more interesting than a Teddy Bridgewater or maybe Ryan Tannehill if the Dolphins move on, or maybe even Ryan Fitzpatrick, or what about a Tyrod Taylor? Where Nick Foles ranks in this tier, in this class of quarterbacks that could be available in free agency this year, is very interesting. Let's take one more break here on the Locked On Eagles. When we come back, I'm going to rank those. I want to see where Foles is at, and I want you to pitch in on the conversation, drop me a line after you hear this podcast on Twitter at DiBiase, or at Locked On Birds. I want to see where you would rank Nick Foles compared to these other players. That's coming up next right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. All right, everybody, so let's get into it now. Let's rank Nick Foles among the potentially available quarterbacks. We got guys like that come to my mind that could be available: Teddy Bridgewater, Joe Flacco, Ryan Tannehill, Tyrod Taylor, and Ryan Fitzpatrick, right? I think those are the big names that could be there with Nick Foles. Let's say the report's true. Let's say Nick Foles does walk. Where does he rank compared to these guys? Here is where I rank it. I think Teddy Bridgewater, it would be the most appealing player in this market, because he is not only someone that is only, what, 26 right now? I think he's the same age as Carson Wentz, despite being drafted a couple of years before. He's a guy that is young, could still be a long-term answer. He's healthy, finally, for the first time in a long time since, what, 2015? He's a guy that is finally healthy. He has playoff experience with the Minnesota Vikings. I think he has shown a lot more than his stats give him credit for, and I think with Adrian Peterson there in Minnesota, he wasn't really able to show what he could do with the Vikings as a potential quarterback. I think a team would be much more willing to give Teddy Bridgewater a shot because of the potential of him being a long-term starter for you for the next 10 years, right? Whereas Nick Foles, I think he could be someone that starts for you for the next 3 to 4 years, but I don't think Nick Foles is a player that wants to play into his 40s, and I also don't think that he is someone that's going to be good into his late 30s. You know, I think he's someone that is playoff experienced. He is talented. He takes shots. He in the right system. He is someone that can be very accurate and just on fire. Like, he is a rhythm quarterback, and he knows how to play in big moments, and he steps up. But I also think that he is not someone that can carry you, and the older he gets, I think that that's going to be even more true. So I would put Bridgewater ahead of him. I would throw Nick Foles right in there at 2. I think Joe Flacco's behind him. Ryan Tannehill at 4. Because I think Miami's moving on. I don't know exactly what they're going to do, but without Adam Gase there now, I think this new era of Miami Dolphins football is not going to include Ryan Tannehill. I'd put Tyrod Taylor at 5, and then Ryan Fitzpatrick at 6. It's funny. Like, you look at Joe Flacco, a guy that caught lightning in a bottle a lot, like Nick Foles did in the playoffs in 2012 and 2014. And Ryan Fitzpatrick is also a guy we saw it firsthand in Tampa Bay this year when Ryan Fitzpatrick lit up the Eagles in that week 2 loss to the Buccaneers. There is a lot of guys that are similar to Nick Foles. There's some guys that have more potential in a guy like Teddy Bridgewater. They might have more to offer when it comes to long-term stability. So maybe a team like the Jaguars, they want something right now, but they also want someone that can be there with this young core for the next 10 years. And that might be Teddy Bridgewater over Nick Foles. I don't think, I fall somewhere in between. I don't think Nick Foles is a pure system guy. I think he deserves a little bit more credit than that label. Like, I don't think he's Alex Smith. I think he is someone that could carry a team in a good system. I think, so he's kind of a system quarterback where he needs to be in the right offense, right? I think Carson Wentz could fit in any offense. I don't think that's the case with Nick Foles. But at the same time, he's not someone that's just being carried by his play calling, by his talent. He makes big plays, right? The coaching didn't allow Nick Foles to throw that football to Corey Clement in the back of the end zone in between 3 Patriot defenders. Like, he makes big time throws. Whereas Alex Smith, I've never seen that. Right? So I wouldn't say Nick Foles is a system quarterback, but he's also not a franchise quarterback. I think he falls somewhere in between, and much like a lot of these guys in this group. But I think Foles, outside of Bridgewater, because of the age, because of the potential still, I think Nick Foles falls right in there at 2. So it'll be interesting to see what he gets. It's a back and forth, unpredictable market in free agency, and that's why I don't think a trade's going to get done, because I don't think that there is a definitive answer in how teams view Nick Foles. I think it might vary. I think some teams are very skeptical. I think some teams really are intrigued by the potential. You know, again, Jacksonville, they're a team that was in the AFC Championship game just a year ago, and maybe they think with Blake Bortles out and Nick Foles in, maybe this time they beat the Patriots, right? Maybe this time Nick Foles is the difference. And with Jalen Ramsey and Miles Jack and Calais Campbell and all the talent in Jacksonville, maybe they think Nick Foles could be the answer to get them from what was an AFC Championship team now to a terrible team in 2018 back to prominence, back to title-contending status. it'll be interesting. But again, everything has to fall right for the Eagles to get something out of him that's not a 2020 compensatory third-round pick. I think that's going to do it for today's edition of Locked On Eagles. Thank you all for being patient these past 4 days as we were kind of on a hiatus. The Senior Bowl this Saturday was fun. We had some great stuff with Michael Kist on our Thursday edition last week, and you can go check that out. Still talking about all the prospects, still very relevant with the NFL Combine and the NFL Draft coming up later in the winter. That's over at LockedOnEagles.com and all the podcast platforms. Wherever you're subscribed to the show, we always appreciate it. For my co-host, Gino Camilleri, who's going to join me tomorrow, I'm Louis DiBiase signing off. Please subscribe to our show. Leave a 5-star review, hopefully. And, of course, a comment is always much obliged. Follow us on Twitter at LockedOnBirds, at DiBiase LOE, and at Gino _LOE. We always appreciate the feedback. Thanks for downloading. Thanks for listening. And let's go, Birds.